Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Load Seaters for Tuesday, the 23rd of February. I'm John McCallum, and we're going to be talking about the rollout of the roadmap to ending lockdowns, Coca-Cola and their anti-whiteness training, and how the Democrats are trying to cancel Fox News. The CNN, in fact, and the Democrats are teaming up to cancel Fox News. But first, the premium podcast about ethical companies is finally up. Well done, Callum. But it's a really good podcast, man.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys enjoy it. Go and watch it.
Yeah, no, it is really good. The comments on it already are fantastic, because people don't seem to realize just how ethical companies are actually not a new phenomenon, and the entire sort of, I guess we'll just call it religious infrastructure that guides the behavior, the moral infrastructure, ends up getting taken out of the workers' wages and all this sort of stuff.
It's basically immoral to run your company like this. If you do, you are a bandit. You are stealing from the people in your organization and the people who invested in it.
Yes.
I have very strong feelings about
this. No, but I totally agree with you. And there are some great points raised in there by Milton Friedman along the same lines, which are fantastic. That's up on the website. And also up on loadseats.com is Michael Rechtenwald's Great Reset Magnum Opus, which is a fantastic piece. It's a long read, so it's not going to be for everyone. But it's a really fantastic piece that we've made non-premium because it's so worth your time. Because what he does is he's tying together all of the strands of the things that make up the Great Reset, which are, you know, large sections of the sort of public discourse that all actually filter into the same problem, I guess we can call it. And he's done a really good job of laying all of this out and showing how they all connect. So these are up on loadseats.com now, totally worth your time. Anyway, let's talk about COVID passports. So this begins with the infection rates in England coming down, which I guess is good. I mean, the mystical R number is an acceptable level now, so we can talk about a roadmap for lifting the lockdown. The infection totals are down, the hospital numbers are like a third of what they were, and so Boris has laid out what he calls an irreversible end to the lockdown. And my God, I wish I could sit there with any kind of faith and say this is irreversible. But the thing is, Boris, in the press conference where he's giving all of this information out, he's pressed on this by one of the reporters, and he's like, well, our intention is that it will be irreversible. It's like, yeah, okay, but that means it's going to be reversible if you change your mind.
Just so you're wasting our time, you're a liar.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But anyway, let's get into it. So March 8th, the school's going to reopen, care homes are going to reopen, and outdoor socialising will be permitted with one person. You'll be allowed to meet one person outdoors and hang out and see your friends. Say, hi, I haven't seen you in ages. I can't even remember your name.
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks'
time.
And
then I can meet one other person.
Yes. The government is so generous to you.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
I feel it.
And that's going to continue until the 29th of March, so about 3 weeks. And then they're out, assuming everything goes well and brilliantly, as in assuming the numbers on Boris's spreadsheet are correct, the tyranny might get slightly lighter, the boot on the neck is eased a little, and outdoor socialising will be allowed, so the general stay-at-home order will be removed prior to Easter, which would be wonderful. Outdoor sports might be allowed. Travelling might be allowed. The rule will be to remain local. However, allowing travel to see friends or relatives so long as socialising remains outside will be permitted. How generous. Then into April, some non-essential retail businesses like hairdressers and public buildings and libraries and museums will be allowed to open. Outdoor businesses such as alcohol takeaways, beer gardens, zoos and theme parks are set to open. April. We're still in February.
Hang on, wait. Because, you know, the number one thing as an Englishman we're interested in is the pubs.
Yeah.
So is that just outside pubs? So
literally.
Like, I can only drink in the garden.
Yeah.
By April.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's like the light at the end of the tunnel is basically a pinprick off far in the distance. Right, okay, yeah, there is some light down there, but my God, we're going to take ages to get there. So yeah, indoor sports will be able to open, like gyms and swimming pools, and self-contained holiday camps, such as self-catered lets and campsites, will be allowed to reopen. By the 17th of May, two households, again, this is all hypothetical plans, because at any point Boris has said, well, if the numbers don't act as we want them to act, then all of this is off the table, right? So anyway, By the 17th of May, socializing, which means two households can mix indoors, with the rule of six applying in hospitality settings, restaurants and pubs. So it'll be, I think, the 17th of May when we'll actually be able to go to a restaurant again.
It's a long time.
It is. I hate it. I just hate it. Businesses, hotels, cinemas, performances and sporting events can reopen. However, social distance guidelines may still apply. 10,000 spectators can attend stadium events such as football matches, things like that. And by the 21st of June, hopefully all restrictions will have been lifted and Boris has said that he doesn't want them to return. This information was given to us in a long, 2 hour long or so press conference they did yesterday, and it's still unclear why we actually have to wait quite so long. They just seem to be obsessing over the data. Boris's two scientific advisors categorically stated that the risk to children is virtually nil. There's just no particular reason that kids have to be at home. There's no reason they need to be vaccinated. There's no reason that they should be in any way concerned about any of this. And they go on to make the point that, look, the best place for kids is at school, because this is going to be Boris's stunted generation that we're looking at here. Like, there are going to be real concerns about the, I bet in like 10 years time, there's going to be for this sort of, you know, this time period, there's a dip in educational attainment and things like that. And that'll be, I think, directly ascribed to the fact that kids weren't allowed to go to school. Well, they weren't allowed to go to school when they weren't at risk, because everyone was just trapped in this constant fear mindset. But the teachers are also not high-risk profession, and so why not? And everyone will say, well, hang on a second, but what about the risk of infecting grandma? It's like, what risk of infecting grandma? A, they've all been vaccinated. We've had, what, 15, 20 million vaccinations out now? And they've been prioritized, so the old people have been vaccinated. But secondly, they're not allowed to see their grandkids anyway. They can't go to grandma and granddad's house. It's just not an option. So what difference does that make? But anyway, who cares? Let's get into the bad effects. Yeah, yeah, go.
27% a couple of days ago, so probably almost about 30% of the population is now vaccinated.
So we're literally looking at 20 million people.
But that's all the elderly as well. Yeah. It's not random people.
Yeah, it's been rolled out by age group, which, to be fair, the rolling out of the vaccine has been handled quite well by the Conservatives. Can't criticize them on that. But this means essentially that society should be able to get back to normal now that all of the vulnerable groups have had the vaccines. And if the vaccines are 95% effective, then what's stopping us?
Unless they're going for eliminating COVID, which
is absurd.
Good luck.
Well, I mean, I think the scientific consensus at this point has arrived at, well, we're going to be living with COVID forever now. So, yeah, okay, well, then let's get on with our lives. But anyway, so the question is, what happens after all of this, really? What are the consequences going to be? And it's honestly, I'm not very optimistic, because the way that these things are being discussed is quite concerning. Like the coronavirus jabs or no job, that is an issue that has been raised recently. So staff, it might actually be legal under UK law for businesses to require their staff to get coronavirus vaccine. And one London-based plumbing company has decided it's not going to hire new staff who've refused vaccination on non-medical grounds.
Plumbing.
A plumbing company, yeah.
This isn't a hospital.
No.
This is a plumbing company.
Yeah. Why? Like, why a plumbing company? But their lawyers are like, well, I mean, technically under the law, that's not illegal, you know, but the Prime Minister's official spokesman has said taking a vaccine is not mandatory and it would be discriminatory to force someone to take one. So it looks like in the near future, there's going to be some kind of lawsuit that will end up settling this discussion under British law.
Yeah. I mean, there have already been lawsuits over supermarkets enforcing mask laws, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, people have won their cases already of supermarkets saying you must wear a mask.
I wasn't aware of that.
And I think there were a couple of ladies who won it. I'll have to check the source. But yeah, they won money. Supermarkets had to pay out.
Good.
They were acting in a discriminatory matter.
Good.
So, I'm sure there'll be one for the vaccine.
Oh, this company apparently did anti-Brexit signs, according to John as well.
Oh, so, the plumbing company.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, they did. I recognise that.
Pimlico Plumbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the people getting fired for refusing vaccines has already happened. There was a lady in New York who called Bonnie Johnson, who lost her job at Brooklyn's Red Hook Tavern because she expressed concerns about how the vaccine affects fertility. So disavow YouTube.
She shouldn't lose her job for it.
Well, you would. Yeah, I would agree. But yeah. This is, again, like, it's a pub, and they're like, no, we're going to fire you. It's like, again, what, Like, if it was a hospital or something, maybe I could understand. But it's a pub. Like, what are you complaining about? But anyway, this leads us on to the possibility of a COVID passport. And Boris mentioned in the press conference yesterday that it probably will become inevitable for international travel that you get some kind of COVID passport, which implies that if you haven't had a vaccine, then you won't be able to travel internationally, which I hate.
What does he mean there, though? Because is he saying... Because the foreign country can demand you have this certification.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Is he saying the UK will have it as certification, or...?
Well, not internally. Ministers have repeatedly denied they would consider the use of domestic use of so-called vaccine passports, as they fear they pose risks of discrimination, and because some groups are unable to receive the jab. It's like, sure,
also
but,
because it's illiberal?
Yeah, also because it seems deeply tyrannical that the government can force you to be injected with something.
Yeah, my body, my choice. What happened to that?
Yeah, exactly. But they're going to conduct a review to assess whether certificates could allow restrictions to be lifted more safely. This report is going to be expected by June or before June, but like that's months away. Again, the lockdowns will be over by Boris's own timeline by that point. So what's the point? But yeah, so it's not looking good. I think despite the wishy-washy libertarian rhetoric that's been coming out of Boris on this, and he mentioned that there are ethical concerns about this. Yeah, there are, Boris, but we seem to have abandoned ethical concerns months and months ago. Like, what happened to the 2 weeks to flatten the curve? You know, ethical concerns went out of the window just about that sort of time, as far as I'm concerned. I think that they're going to end up backtracking. I think there'll be international pressure. I think that Joe Biden will put pressure on them. I think they'll eventually be issuing us government-mandated vaccine passports. I'm not optimistic. And I hate it.
I don't really have anything to say about that. It's just sick.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing it.
Anyway, let's talk about how lockdowns have been hurting people. So apparently 2 million people nearly in the UK, 1.9 million people in the UK, haven't worked for more than 6 months. That's awful, isn't it? Just what a depressing time that must have been for those people.
What percentage is that?
Not that high, to be honest.
66 million population. I'm trying to calculate my head, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm terrible at maths. But that's still, just as a raw number, that's a huge amount of people who have just been out of a job or on full furlough for more than 6 months. So this is going to be something that is going to cause problems, right? These sorts of problems are not immediately detectable, and there are problems that come up that you don't realize are going to come. For example, and I found this one really interesting. Obviously, it's terrible, right? But it's really interesting how no one saw stuff like this coming, right? Lockdowns are hurting blind people more than others, because apparently it's causing a disturbing rise in people experiencing distressing hallucinations. Because it seems to be a sort of sensory deprivation, although I'm, of course, no expert on this. The condition is known as Charles Bonnet syndrome, and it causes patients to have vivid hallucinations. And some of these have been deeply distressing, like seeing blood everywhere and stuff like this.
How does that work if they're blind?
People who are blind have not always been blind. People become blind.
But how do they interpret seeing things? Like, I'm not saying it's not true, I'm just interested.
Well, close your eyes and then picture something.
I guess so. Okay. Sorry, I'm not blind. I never thought about this.
No, but you might go blind and then you'll learn, won't you? Yeah. But the false images are triggered by when the brain tries to fill the gaps caused by sight loss, and the RNIB said the calls to its helpline have increased by almost 50%, and patients have reported more sinister visions. This not exactly a good thing, is it? This isn't exactly what you wanted to inflict on people, but this is the sort of thing that's happening. Again, like when you take these sort of massive unilateral actions, you get results that you just didn't expect and you couldn't have predicted. There are also examples that are just shocking, shocking violations of human rights. Like there's one man who's been held against his will, a guy called Anthony Piam, who went to Brazil to do some work from the UK. He's a British citizen. Went to Brazil to do some work. When he came back, he got quarantined in a hotel, and he says he's being held against his will. He's been staying at the Radisson Blue Heathrow Hotel. And from February the 15th, travellers from 33 red list countries were forced to quarantine for 11 nights. And he told the Press Association that his luggage had been lost, leaving him without essentials or even a change of clothes. And he's just stuck in this hotel and they won't let him leave. He says, I'm really upset. I feel really frustrated. I feel like this is changing my view on how the police and the government help people in a crisis. So at least they're red pilling people. This has changed my view of the government. It seems like government might be tyrannical. I'm really upset. I'm really frustrated. They already know coronavirus affects people mentally, and I've been away from my family for 2 months. Now, coming back to my own country feels worse than I was in Brazil. They're trapping me in my room, and to be honest, it's the worst experience of my life. That's on you, Boris. That's on you. Everyone's vaccinated. Everyone who is vulnerable is vaccinated. Why? Why does this have to happen? Right? It's getting so bad that criminals are literally handing themselves into the police because they don't want to be under lockdown anymore. Unironically, man from Sussex, right? Police Inspector Darren Taylor of Sussex Police wrote on Twitter, "Peace and quiet. Wanted male handed himself back into the team yesterday afternoon after informing us he would rather go back to prison than have to spend more time with the people he was living with." I wish I was wanted for a crime, mate. I understand your pain. I'm joking, obviously. But this is not natural.
I mean, there is nowhere else to go. Like, what else are you going to do? You can go to Tesco's and then go home.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
It's totally unnatural to be doing this to people. It's totally tyrannical, and it's causing loads of different kinds of mental health problems. Psychologists are reporting a rise in people experiencing symptoms of sustained stress, similar to burnout at work, including problems with sleep and concentration, and many people are desperate for human contact after months of relative or total isolation. Like, this is normally... this kind of isolation, this kind of ostracization, is normally the worst kind of punishment that we have for violent criminals. Like, when someone has done something terribly wrong, you put them in isolation. You make sure they can't hang out with the other prisoners. This is a punishment, and they're doing it to the entire country, and it's causing these problems. And it's causing them to create ridiculous dystopian propaganda that we showed the other day, but we may as well get it back up. What's interesting about this is that the Home Office deleted their... All gatherings are currently against the law. I mean, that's your government, Boris. All gatherings are currently against the law. That's awful. But this is the, you shouldn't go to a pub, you shouldn't go to your friend's house, you shouldn't go to a disco or whatever it was in there. It's like...
yeah, like for people who didn't see it, it was like a redux of the, you wouldn't steal a DVD, you wouldn't steal a car. And,
you're right. Those things would be theft. They're moral crimes. You shouldn't steal something from someone. However, meeting up with your friends and family is not in the same category, UK government.
And they deleted it after everyone was like, this is really cringe and also wrong.
Yeah, and also totally dystopian. Like, what are you doing? Like, the cringe aspect of it, I don't care about at all. You know, it's the fact that the government's like, all lockdowns are illegal. Boris is like, holidays are illegal. Like, anyway, the problem that a lot of people have been having with teachers is interesting, because a lot of people have been saying, well, all the teachers have been resisting going back, the unions have been resisting going back, and it's because they like having time off work and getting full pay. Yes, that appears to be the case, as one San Francisco Bay Area school board has recently entirely resigned because they were in a virtual meeting, a Zoom meeting, that they didn't realize was being broadcast to the public. And so they were basically saying stuff like, to hell with the public, screw them, they just want their babysitters back. And it's like, bitch, you are being paid by the public. If you're being paid to look after kids all day and take care, you know, educate them, then you should do your job. You can't sit there on furlough and say, I don't need to, I don't think I should have to go back, blah, blah, blah. No, you should go back. I hate it. These people are taking advantage. It's the same with all of these other sort of guaranteed paychecks as well. Like, the politicians haven't missed a paycheck. The politicians in many cases have been total hypocrites about following lockdown rules. And everyone else is supposed to just get... I mean, Kay Burley? Which were the Sky News hosts.
Sky News went on a party.
That's right. Yeah, they went on the big party. So what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and everyone...
don't believe your own propaganda, do you?
Don't believe your own propaganda. Neil Ferguson, the architect of all of this lockdown nonsense, snuck out to go see his lover, blah, blah, blah. You know, but you've got to stay at home, develop mental health conditions, fail to be able to work, and then eventually hand yourself into the police for some crime you're wanted for.
Like, so I'll tell you a funny story. You're mentioning the teachers saying they just want their babysitters back.
Yeah.
I got a friend who, his job is classed as essential work, and he has a daughter. The daughter can't stay at home because there's no one there. So the government has a way to deal with this, which is she goes to school, unlike all the other kids.
Yeah.
And she goes into school, sits there with a laptop, and then joins the Zoom call with all the kids and the teacher at home.
Yeah.
But you can't have no one in the school, can you? So there's a substitute teacher in the room with her. And it's just like, what is the point in this?
Yeah.
Why, like, if there's risk here, why not just, like the substitute teacher wouldn't be there. But if you've got to keep them, then why not just teach her? Like, why would you need this stupid Zoom call? But
bureaucracy.
It just shows you the unionized teachers.
Yes. Yeah. The
exerting their power.
Absolutely. I mean, it's worse in America than it is here, obviously. But it's the same principle. And I think that the teachers' unions know that they're just getting some free time off and just getting paid to sit at home, and they can milk this for as much as they want. These lockdowns should be over now. Come on, let's be honest. Anyway.
Cheery.
Yeah, I know. I can't stand it. Because on a personal note, I've seen the damage it's done to my own kids. Right. I've seen it's made my children's lives more difficult. It's reduced their educational attainment because it's more difficult to get them to focus and do the work when not in a classroom environment. They need this. And not only that, they need the change of scenery. They need to be able to see their friends and run around in the playgrounds and burn off all this energy. You know, because it's been terrible for my wife. You know, she's got a newborn baby to look after. And my son, through no fault of his own, is just bouncing off the walls. And it's awful. It's really awful. I really think it's a terrible thing to have inflicted on kids. And
especially when the risk is negligent.
Literally zero. Like, if you were going to round off just to the nearest, like, I don't know, half a percentage point, the risk would be zero for children. There's just no risk as far as we can really tell. Like, one child may have died or something. You know, it's such a tiny fraction. It's like, okay, well, that was bad luck. That's sad. But the rest of them don't need to suffer, you know? And it's awful. It's really been awful. Anyway, let's go on something a bit more jolly.
A little bit more cheery. Woke-a-Cola. I've seen the chat calling it. It's good. I wish I thought of that.
Anyway. Yeah, I can't believe we didn't, actually.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, so this is a story that Carolyn Borisenko pointed out on Twitter. I don't know if she's the original source, but she was the way I found
it. I think she got it sent to her by a whistleblower. Leaked it to her. Yeah.
So what was going on is this is a Coca-Cola employee had leaked that they were being forced, or at least advised, to take, let's call it politely, racism training.
Well, it's Robin DiAngelo's white fragility training, right? I mean, I can see it there, confronting racism with Robin DiAngelo.
Yeah, and it wasn't just any old nonsense. It was Robin DiAngelo's nonsense, who is, you know, just by reading her book, you can tell she's practically a white supremacist.
No, she is. Yeah. She is openly a white supremacist. Well, we'll talk about her in a bit. Mm.
And in here, there's, if you can keep going through the images, there's different things. So this one's interesting. To be less white. So they're advising you to
To be less white is to be less oppressive, less arrogant, less certain, be less defensive, be less ignorant, be more humble, to listen, believe, break with apathy, and break with white solidarity.
That's what being white is about.
Being white is about oppressiveness, arrogance, certainty, defensiveness, ignorant, and not being humble, and not listening, not believing, and being apathetic and having white solidarity.
Yeah, and then the next slide, I think it's the next one, is the one after this, actually, sorry, is the one where it's be less white. So they're literally just telling you, try to be less white. And of course, this hit a nerve, because it's an absurd thing to say.
It is.
But there's a way she's looking at this, so I think we should explain that before we go on, which is the way she looks at white is essentially English culture, and then the white Americans as the, you know, let's say, cultural inheritors of that tradition, and therefore being less white is being less English.
They're talking about English Protestant work ethic culture. So, you know, you're supposed to take responsibility for yourself, for your own actions. You're supposed to be the person who is in charge of your life. And this means you're responsible for things you do. You should... You know, 2 + 2 = 4 in this worldview, if that's an acceptable position to hold now. And they're saying literally try to be less white. It's apparently oppressive to everyone else.
Because it goes through the American race politics lens, therefore it becomes white black.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this was released. It's obviously absurd. It got a lot of traction, people saying this is disgusting, rightfully.
Yeah.
And Coca-Cola were asked to confirm whether or not this is true. This is an article with Coca-Cola quotes in which they issued a statement saying that this was the case. The video circulating on social media is from a publicly available LinkedIn learning series and is not a focus of our company's curriculum. So it sounds like they're denouncing it, but they don't. Our Better Together Global Learning Curriculum is part of the learning plan to help build an inclusive workplace. It is comprised of a number of short vignettes, each a few minutes long. The training includes access to LinkedIn learning on a variety of topics, including diversity, equity, and inclusion. We will continue to refine this curriculum. Well, so they're not denouncing it. They're saying, we're going to continue doing this stuff.
They're not denouncing it. And I think it's important that people approach Coca-Cola and explain to them that what they're doing is trying to raise white racial consciousness. That's the
Robin DiAngelo's own words.
That's the exactly Robin DiAngelo's own words. The purpose is to raise white racial consciousness, which is exactly what the Germans were doing with German racial consciousness. It's exactly what the black supremacists are doing with black racial consciousness. And it's exactly the opposite of what the liberals should be trying to achieve, which is not raising racial consciousness. Because as far as a liberal is concerned, this is the core root of racism. And we, in fact, have a massive textbook over there of critical race theory that was written by Kimberly Crenshaw, the lady who coined the term intersectionality. And she just outright says this. She says, well, the liberals all reject this as being racist.
It's because it is.
Just because it is, yes. And she's like, yes, but it's racism for good. It's racism to help black people and not white people.
Therefore, it's okay, I guess.
Therefore, it's okay.
That's how these people think. But the interesting thing about them accepting that it was white is, sorry, it was true that they had used this material,
yeah,
is apparently, according to the whistleblower, they were saying to the employees to lie and say that it wasn't true. So
oh,
the next link here should be from Carolyn saying here. So he says that they were instructed, the employees here, to tell their friends and family who reach out to them about the viral images and the video and say that it was false. Like, why?
Why? Yeah, why would you do that?
So,
aren't you proud of raising this racial consciousness?
So they know they've done something wrong.
Yeah,
they were panicking and trying to be like, no, it's not real. And then I assume they realized the jig was up and they gave
the jig is up because Coca-Cola has tens of thousands of employees that they've tried to brainwash into white supremacy.
Yeah, like, so this wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the response. LinkedIn, so this isn't Coca-Cola, this is LinkedIn, have taken down the original lecture. But, of course, the internet always remembers, and there's an archive of it.
Yeah.
And people can go check it out there. It is real. It was a thing. So you can't
20,000 people have taken this course. 20,000 people.
And that's just on LinkedIn, because you could buy it and then issue it.
Just on LinkedIn have had their brains massaged with Robin DiAngelo's race propaganda. Pro-race propaganda.
And that's this single source as well. I mean, we're not talking about the endless organizations that recommend her book to their employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
The God Emperor's son decided to retweet a meme referencing this, the next one. So we know that the higher ups in the conservative movement at least saw this, which is good. Because he retweeted this.
Right, okay.
So it's good to know that they at least know that this is going on.
Yeah.
And for people who can't see, it's a tweet in which there's a guy with two buttons, be less white or acting black is cultural appropriation. And it's a good point.
Yeah.
If you are to be less white, how are you not engaging in cultural appropriation?
But I just can't get over the idea. Like, I can't get over the idea of looking at a culture. You could go to, like, I don't know, any culture around the world. We go to Indonesia. We're like, could you be less Indonesian, please? We're like, what? You know, the things that Indonesians do, the things that you value, the things you believe, just stop doing them. We find them oppressive. We find them to be, you know, hurting us. Could you just stop them? They're going to be like, no.
Well, it's not actually, it's even worse than that, because this is, you know, that would kind of make sense in America. But you're coming to, say, Indonesia and saying, be less Asian or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think of myself in that way. I'm Indonesian.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
But in America, if, like, white has more, you know, actual content as a phrase, even then it's just like, okay, look, your culture, just stop it. I don't like it.
Mm.
Like, no.
Like, you have no right
to do that. Yeah.
Again,
who asked you?
Flip it on its head, you know, because whites are performing worst in society at some point. Therefore, we can turn around to the black Americans and say, right, stop being black.
Hey, Asians, stop working so hard. You know, things like it's awful. It's awful.
Anyway, turns out it wasn't just one little cock-up that they'd done.
Yeah.
Turns out that this is part of a broader policy of theirs.
Oh, what a shock.
So I went to the racial equity section on their website.
Oh, God, Coca-Cola, what are you doing?
Yeah, real cringe. But they're paying money for this. Again, a reason you should check out our podcast on ethical companies.
Yes,
it's
really is.
They're doing this. But the next link should be an image. It's a PNG, which is their, like, racial equity plan, I presume.
Go back a second. Sorry, to the other one. This, there is no place in our world for racism. There is. It's called 4chan.
I disavow that call.
But the point is, look, when you get such an absolute statement, there is no place in our world for X, it's like, oh God, that means anything is going to be justified in the service of doing this. Anything. You know,
which they do. They justify some absurd thing. So if we go back to the PNG, this is their plan. And some of the stuff in here just I love as well, the way they frame it. So there's, like, the first thing there, 10 years. So they're 10 years.
Oh, they've got a 10-year plan, have they?
The recruiting, hiring, development and advancement of blacks. And it's just like, whoa, okay.
Capital B blacks as well. So blacks, the proper noun, the political movement, blacks.
But I love how, like, unfitting it sounds. Like, when they start recruiting more blacks, It sounds like a company that's not even on board with it. Like, yeah, man, I love black people. That's what I call them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it really does sound like the new plantation, doesn't it?
Weird. Anyway, they also say,
hey, blacks, do you want to work at Coca-Cola?
They say that they have 12 months to embed a diversity and inclusion policy within all their systems. So this is, I presume, them bringing it in because this is November 2020.
Yeah.
So now this is them embedding it, which that staff member got.
Yeah.
100% of staff will have access to diversity and inclusion curriculum. I don't buy that have access is optional for a second.
Yeah. I don't believe it's optional. But even then, okay, great. Right, you're a white staff member and you're going to be given access, you know, given access to this diversity, equity, and inclusion curriculum, and that where they're going to be like, right, so being white's bad. Thanks.
Good. Moral good in the world, Coca-Cola. Yeah. Thanks. They also said they're going to give $500 million for black-owned businesses. So just racial money then. We're going to give money to this business because the owners are black, and that's it.
And do we think these businesses are just going to be unconnected with Coca-Cola or something? No, of course not.
They'll set up Coca-Cola Black.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be shell companies where all the money ends up getting funded back into Coca-Cola.
I was watching one of Cumtown's podcasts where they were talking about woke companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned apparently McDonald's used to have like a McDonald's Black website. And it was just like, what's that even for? Like talking about how you're going to bring McDonald's, but in like language that's ghetto or something. Like what? Like why do I need to be Black McDonald's? Why can't I just go to McDonald's and buy the food? What are you talking
about? Have you not read BBC Pigeon?
I have read BBC
Pigeon. You have. But this is the thing though. Look at how far this has gone.
Like $500 million. It's a lot of money.
How do I get access to $500 million? I'm not
become black, I guess.
I guess so.
You can ask them for the money.
Sean King, how did you do it?
They also mentioned that they're going to give $0
right.
for political candidates who are inflammatory about equality. It's like,
oh, Jesus Christ. Well, does that not mean that all the progressives are out, the squad are out of bounds then? Because about equality, they're very inflammatory.
Yeah. But there's the point there, which is that hints at the fact that it's going to be through a progressive lens
of
what equality is, which means the people writing this and the people in charge of giving these millions and millions of dollars away are organizing the guidelines in the same way you organize Twitter's guidelines to favor the left.
Of course.
So Coca-Cola is run by leftists, or at least this section of it, which has infected the whole company.
But imagine trying to resist this in Coca-Cola. You're sat there, you've got some midwit who's sat there going, right, we've got your diversity and equity inclusion training, and you're like, yeah, I think that's racial consciousness and I don't want to do it because I think that's racist. They're going to be like, oh God, I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, you're a bad person. Quick, alert the managers, you know?
Yeah, bring him to HR. We've got to talk to him about his racism.
Yeah, clearly this is a white supremacist.
Disgusting. Anyway, they also mentioned they give $5.64 million to social justice causes.
Oh God.
Great, fantastic. I mean, funding more riots, fantastic. Yeah. And three states in which they are advocating, Coca-Cola is advocating this, that hate crimes be put on the books.
Wow, that's really bad.
What's wrong with you? Like, I don't know. I mean, a company say that this. I mean, I have plenty of criticisms of how the American political system works.
Yeah.
But a company organizing that we need to change hate crime laws.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would. Who the hell put the CEOs of Coca-Cola in charge of dictating what you can and can't say?
Why does your opinion matter? Get out. Like, is the opinion of the people who live in those states, surely that should matter about this sort of thing.
No. We've got Coca-Cola, this mega corporation.
We've got Woke Inc. to tell us about this instead.
Yeah, exactly. Woke Inc. are going to reshape your laws in their favoured image.
Yeah.
And it just so happens to be that it's Robin DiAngelo that they're following on this.
Worst person. So they also have a section called Where We Stand on Social Justice. Of course they do.
Okay, tell me about your plan for each individual group. Right, what's your plan for the blacks? We know that. What's your plan for the Jews? Tell me about Coca-Cola. I want to know your plan for the Jews. And if you don't have a plan for the Jews, why not? Why are you excluding the Jews, Coca-Cola? What is it about Jews that you hate so much that you won't include them in your diversity and equity and inclusion?
And the progressives will agree with you there.
They
because
will.
If you check out Joe Biden's manifesto, where I remember at the time, he has a plan for the blacks, he has a plan for the Hispanics, he has a plan for the Asians.
Yep.
It was just like, what am I reading? Like, I don't know if this is the mosque shooter or Joe Biden. It's weird.
Honestly, it's just pure racial politics going forward on the left. It is awful.
But even of the centrist mainstream candidate, it's like, I don't believe he wrote these for a second.
No, obviously.
But this is the people running that party.
Yeah.
And so this is essentially a speech from I think it's the CEO or something of Coca-Cola at the time, listing his views. And the first part is just him listing a bunch of BLM angels that totally didn't do nothing. It's just like, that's not true. I mean, half of these names I can recognize as just absolutely fabricated stories.
Yeah.
So don't waste my time with it. And he says that companies like ours must speak up as allies to the Black Lives Matter movement. So explicitly, we will tie ourselves to this Marxist movement, this billion-dollar company.
Coca-Cola has logged on to the race war.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have. And they've chose BLM's side for the reasons. Oh, even though the CEO is a white guy, but
this
okay.
is just so awful. I swear to God, I said years ago that every company will be promoting this eventually if we don't stop it now. And here we are.
Yeah. He also says that I've been reflecting on our duty to black people in America. And I'm like, what a weird statement. Our duty to black people as a sugar company. Like, we sell sugar water.
I mean, if you're going to go down that road, then are we talking like obesity rates or something?
In which case, you're going to stop selling Coca-Cola?
Yeah, which means you're like one of the problems that the black community has, which I believe, I mean,
if we want to put it in those terms, yeah,
I agree
that that's...
Yeah, I wouldn't frame it that way myself.
No, I mean, I think they should be free to sell their sugar water, but it's if you want to go down that road...
Yeah, it's not been good for it's disproportionately impacted communities of color, in fact. Coca-Cola's rampant use of capitalism has actually been a net deficit to the black community, is how we could frame it in progressive language. And I think they couldn't...
What would be their defense?
They couldn't refute that.
Because they've already brought into everything else. Yeah. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
To be like, no, actually, we abandoned social justice. We're a right-wing company now. Like,
yeah. Free markets.
Although I do have to wonder, maybe they do have a duty to the black community. I wanted to get Image One up, one of the adverts someone posted on our Twitter. <back. laughs> Bill Cosby there, giving an advert for Coke. So, I don't know. Maybe
if
he's got
the
a point.
Can fits, you must acquit.
That's the wrong guy, but...
Oh, is it?
It's not OJ.
I thought there was OJ.
It's Bill Cosby.
Oh, God, that's... That's bad too.
The guy who used to spike drinks. So.
Yeah, he's the rapist, yeah. God.
Alleged, I suppose. I don't know what's going on with him at this point.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, but this is of course, you know, Coca-Cola, one of the biggest companies on planet Earth, yes. buying into this in an extreme way. It's not just a light, you know, like Disney giving $1 million and being like, done with it. Like,
just want to say, as a keto bro, Coca-Cola can go hang. I mean, like, yeah.
But there's also the problem here, which is a lot of people saying, oh, I'll buy Pepsi. Good luck. They're woke as well.
Yeah, well,
do you not remember the whole, you know, give the Pepsi guy in the middle of the
of course,
advert? They made?
Yeah. They tried to pander to all of this.
This is.
I love the way that Pepsi are like, no, we're MAGA. What, you know, come on.
But I think this is one of the problems we have on this side of it, where I don't want to sit there and be like, I'm not going to buy ketchup because it's owned by the wokists or something like this. But when literally every product is, what am I meant to do? Like, I can't even boycott this stuff.
I can't buy anything that's not made in China. Mm. So I tried to buy stuff for the office that wasn't made in China, but this table, I had to get commissioned specifically from a company in England because it's a one of a kind sort of thing. But everything else is just made in China. There's nothing I can do.
You want the stuff? But yeah. I mean, I don't really drink Coca-Cola anyway, and that's, I guess, what I'll continue doing, or at least making sure that I never drink it because I'm not funding this.
Then you can give up bread.
No. Stalinist. Anyway, so I'm
pretty sure legally I'm allowed to write that in your contract.
No, you're not. No, I can't sue the Equality Act though.
Hey, we'll
please
see
save me, leftists.
You can get I can write in COVID jabs, but I can't write in that you're not allowed to eat bread.
You can't write in code and jabs either. That's illegal. No. As they were arguing.
No, but the lawyer is arguing that as legal.
Okay, he can do that all he wants. He will lose in court.
There's an opening in the law. Yeah, I think he will. And I hope he will.
So this is not just Coca-Cola. We've reported before on the lotuscedars.com in which how far this is going.
Yeah.
So in here, you just want to scroll through this just so people can see the images. There's the Ministry of Defense, which is our version of the DOJ.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Department of Defense,
which is funding the army. And they're recommending to their employees that everyone read White Fragility, for example.
Yep.
The Transport for London are also promoting this. So if you want to keep scrolling, there's images. And I want to show the images. And the Transport for London is also promoting the people...
Can you go down a bit, John? Sorry, there are some images at some point. There we go.
So there we go. So we're not making this up. These are people who have worked in these organizations and leaked it to us to put out. Mm-hmm. So very glad to everyone who did that. If you're watching, good guys. We need to know about this sort of stuff.
Yes.
Because, I mean, this is government funded as well. Coca-Cola, if they want to burn all their money...
Sure, it's their money.
Sure, the CEO is screwing over everyone.
It's only their blood sugar money.
Literally. But the state in the UK funds this, and the US state will be doing the same soon enough.
Yeah.
There's also weapons companies, of all things, are promoting this, in which they're promoting racial propaganda. So Northrop Grumman...
You don't want to drop a white supremacist bomb on someone.
Yeah.
You want a bomb of diversity and tolerance.
But yeah, I love how the Comptown guys put this, which is like... You want to see social media posts from like weapons companies, like we're teaching girls in Yemen about electronics. And it's like coming up. I bet they post that. There's also the cooperative.
This bomb was made by minorities.
Oh, good.
God, right, okay.
Yeah, this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
There's also the cooperative, so that's a food distribution, so a supermarket kind of thing. And they are the worst issue on here, which is that they were asking for racial data from their employees. So they were saying, what is your race? We need to know because we need to collect this. And they're being all huffy, like, oh, we just like to know. And then in their policy about why they need this and how they're going to implement their diversity and inclusion policy, they explicitly say that they need this data so that they can discriminate against white people because there are not enough BAME people in higher up positions. Therefore, we're going to ask you if you're white or not. And if you say yes, congratulations, you've just demoted yourself. Evil. Absolutely evil. I wrote to Co-op about this, and they are yet to get back still. They're just, you know, denying that this is happening. I'm like, but I have the documents. I've got the screenshots from your employees. What are you talking about?
Honestly, the case for converting to Islam grows stronger every day.
It certainly does. Anyway, and in case anyone's watching this who's a leftist and is like, well, this is justified because, I don't know, the white man they would say superior. That's their viewpoint.
Yeah, they would.
In society, they're getting too much. Well, we have some data out. So the next link here is from Matt Godwin, who's listing some pretty... I don't know. I don't want to say tragic or not data. It's just what it is. And it's up to interpretation of how bad this is, which is racial groups, who makes it to university. And it's broke down by different races. So 2009 and 2019. And the order is the same for both, which is Chinese at the top, most likely to get to university if they're on free school meals. So poor Chinese.
Yeah. So the kids that are getting free school meals, so kids who are disadvantaged.
Yeah, right? They're coming from poor backgrounds. Yeah. You have to be poor to qualify.
And it's their rate of progression onto UK higher education.
Yeah. Right. So Chinese, more, you know, 60% there. Asian,
67%.
50%.
Yeah.
Blacks, 40%. And then whites right at the bottom, as white kids who are on free school meals are the least likely to go to university. At 17% in 2009, at 27% in 2019.
Man, I don't want to hear a goddamn word about white privilege. I just don't want to hear it.
This is white privilege. This is your white privilege.
I just don't want to hear it. Like, unironically, I mean, okay, going from 17% to 27%, I guess that's a nice increase, but the black community had gone from 40 to 53, so that's 13% increase. The Asians have got an 11% increase, and the Chinese already had an amazingly good number anyway, and only got a 3% increase. It's just, I mean, the thing is, I don't even want, like, racial categorization on who we try to get into universities.
Yeah, I don't think the response to this should be, well, let's have some gibbs for us.
Yeah, exactly, gibbs for whites. Yeah, I don't want that.
For whites, no, I think that we should just get rid of all this stuff in which we're saying that white people are privileged, therefore we will give promotions to brown people, as the co-op's policy states, on the basis that they have brown skin.
Yeah, I think we should just get rid of Gibbs.
Get rid of racial Gibbs.
Yeah.
I don't think it's useful at all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's disgusting.
Just why do we even care?
Yeah. And Coca-Cola should go hack... Well, they should, don't want to say it in those words. They should feel ashamed of what they're doing.
Go back to your sugar plantations, Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Here's it broken down just for a graph.
Yeah.
People can't see the graph, but if they're listening. But you want to talk about... So you've spoken about this before at length.
Yeah.
And we even went to Germany to give a lecture to the Germans.
I did.
About how this is coming to them.
And it is. It's undoubtedly. Yeah, so I wrote what I guess I would call a study on Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility. We can scroll down a bit, John, because what we can... we've got the video of me doing it, but I've also included in here the script, the essay I wrote on this. And so basically I go through all of the worldview that Robin DiAngelo lays out, the fact that she describes herself as a racist, that she is trying to raise white racial consciousness, that she thinks that being a white person is an inherently shameful thing, and there can't be a positive white identity because it is defined as being oppressive because of the intersections it has with other racialized identities and things like this. And essentially, to give people a good understanding of what Robin DiAngelo is saying without having to go through the, I was going to say mind-numbing tedium, but that's not right. It's actually the rage-inducing tedium of having to read her book. She's not a brilliant writer at the best of times, I think, but the concepts she's presenting just seem like outright racism to regular people who have read it. And I've heard, you know, read comments from people, in fact, on this, from people who have also read the book, and they were just like, I couldn't get through it. It was just infuriating. How dare she say these things? Well, she dares. She thinks you're a white supremacist, you're a racist. She herself admits to being one and is trying to do everything she can to self-abnegate, basically, you know, like reduce herself in every way, which is interesting because this book has sold millions of copies and made her rich and famous.
And it's being enforced by the state here.
And is being enforced by the state here, international corporations. It's made her phenomenally powerful. So her foe sort of like, well, I'm just a white woman who's trying to check her privilege.
Who gets $40,000 for a half day talk.
Is making bank.
Serious.
Yeah.
And so there was a really funny instance. She gave a talk at some place about diversity and inclusion. And the next speaker was a brown lady.
Mm-hmm.
She got paid half.
Yep. Literally. The hypocrisy is just outstanding. But anyway, I go through it and explain it in terms that conservatives can understand. Because a lot of the problem, and it's not, a lot of the problem is this, essentially there are two paradigms that are coming into conflict. And she's using a bunch of language and terminology that are either highly offensive or don't make sense from the conservative perspective. So I'm essentially acting as a translator, the white fragility whisperer here, for regular conservatives who want to understand what they're trying to say to us. And it is as bad as it sounds, frankly. I can't really put a varnish on it. It's just terrible.
It's an evil ideology.
It's a racist ideology. It's an ideology that's focused, centered entirely on race. And it's about promoting a racial view of the world. And I just hate it. So that's on lotusseeds.com. It's linked in the description as well, I think.
Anyway, let's move on because we got for the sake of time, at least.
Yes.
So the last thing we wanted to mention today was the Democrats are actually coming for Fox News. So we spoke previously about this tweet, for example.
We have.
Oliver Darcy at CNN.
And the thing to remember is that this is the opposite of a free market. So this is where there is not just a market competition that decides the rise and fall and the fortunes of various companies. These are companies acting in predatory ways in the cabal that they admit to being a part of in order to hurt their competition. I'm pretty sure there are loads of laws about all of this already that are on the books to prevent this kind of behavior. I don't know why there aren't lawsuits flying around everywhere.
I assume because they've not been successful yet, but they are about to be by the looks
of it. But even the attempt, I think, is something called tortious interference, which means that you can be sued for the attempt at interfering with someone else's contracts, which is, I mean, that is exactly what he's doing here. You know, that's exactly, you know, just a reminder that neither Verizon, AT&T, or Comcast have answered any questions about why they beam channels like OAN and Newsmax into millions of homes. What questions could you possibly, why do you do this? Because they pay us money, and we're a cable service provider.
And the obvious point being here, like, this guy works for CNN, and he wants to deplatform Fox News and OAN and Newsmax.
Oliver Darcy being the chap who got Alex Jones mass deplatformed.
Because they are competition to CNN, that is the reason. I mean, I'm sure Burger King would love to burn down every McDonald's in sight, but that's not, you don't get to do that.
No,
you can't deplatform McDonald's on that basis. No, that you don't like them.
You don't get to deplatform anyone, you know, especially not your direct competition. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Claim you don't have a financial stake in taking down OAN and News? Get out, you know?
Yeah. So we've spoken about this before, and it was a CNN thing that they were trying to do. So there's another CNN tech reporter who's seconding this motion, basically saying that, yes, we ought to go after them. And I wanted to play this clip, which is from CNN, trying to claim that, no, even though all of our reporters are saying we're coming after you, we're not coming after Fox News, we swear. So
I love the chiron here. Reducing information pollution. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So let's play.
Dishonest cries of censorship are filling Fox's airwaves with charges that these guys right here are being suppressed. The word censorship's been invoked almost 400 times on Fox this month alone, and more than 300 times on Newsmax. You know, post-insurrection, a book publisher decided that it did not want to be in business with Senator Josh Hawley. So he's been on a national TV tour claiming he's muzzled. And Tucker Carlson is telling viewers that this network, CNN, is trying to force Fox News off the air.
Yes.
Which is patently false.
You liar.
Lies to your faces.
Yeah, like your own reporters are calling up AT&T to deplatform Fox.
But I just can't get over the balls on the man. Like, I wouldn't be able to just sit there and go, yeah, okay, so, you know, we want you off the air, this is all bad, you're terrible people, but don't say that we're trying to censor you. That's a lie.
It's like the Owen Jones episode yesterday.
Yeah.
It's the parallels between the left in the US and the left in the UK are striking.
I just can't get over it. It's genuinely depressing.
Yeah, the last check mark I wanted to talk about here, so there were a lot of check marks to pick through that Carl gave me. This one's just the best one.
This is not like something that the Twitter chattering classes are like, oh no, you can't just go after your competition. They're like, no, get them!
Kill them, because they're right-wing.
Bring the heads, you know? It's awful.
So Mehdi Hassan here saying, to be clear, Fox News, OANN, the far-right echo chamber incited a lot of what we are seeing today.
So prove it.
In response to what happened to Capitol Hill. So him calling for them to be shut down as well, which is amazing, because for people who don't know who Mehdi Hassan is, I just want to play a video of what he is most well known for, which is believing in Pegasus.
Would you believe that Muhammad flew to heaven on a winged horse, for example? I pay you the compliment of assuming that you don't.
No, I do. I believe in miracles.
You believe that?
Yes.
You believe that Muhammad went to heaven on a winged horse?
Yes, I believe in God. I believe in miracles. I believe in revelation. I mean, the point here is that let's assume I'm wrong, Richard. Let's assume I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm happy to concede that, Richard. I'm happy to concede it. I'm wrong.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Let's just put up the image, because I want to show what he is actually claiming to believe in case it wasn't absurd enough. This is it. This is what he's claiming in reality happens.
Yes.
This man is very serious. But I love how he has his own show. Like, he gets his own show. He's not touched. Mm-hmm. But he's obviously a maniac. But Fox News, they've got to go for spreading misinformation. I mean, to say nothing of CNN's coverage of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, well, say nothing of CNN's coverage of the Russiagate, conspiracy theory. And various other things that CNN have just lied about over the years.
But anyway, getting to the Democrats. So the new development here, which is that the reason we're laying all this out is that the Democrats wrote a letter to AT&T, to the people on the, I think it's like the Commission for Commerce or whatever, complaining that Fox News exists and therefore AT&T ought to deplatform them on this basis because they're not Democrats. And it's quite shocking that they would do this, to be honest.
Yeah.
So they say they are concerned about the role AT&T plays in disseminating misinformation to millions. Nearly half of Americans get their news primarily from TV. However, not all TV sources are the same. Some purported news outlets have long been misinformation rumor mills and conspiracy theory hotbeds that produce content that leads to real-world harm.
Oh, Rachel Maddow is just sweating here. Oh, God.
Well, of course, they're not talking about anything left-wing. They have to talk about all the right-wing.
Yeah.
So they literally say right-wing media outlets like Newsmax, One American News Networks, and Fox News all aired misinformation about the November 2020 elections. And I love that the source they use for that claim, so they have like little sources there, is Vox.com. It's like Vox.com. The people who, remember that hate crime thing we covered?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, maybe a hate crime, whilst they were shouting F white people after torturing this white kid. Like, okay, well... Sure, they're the ones spreading misinformation.
Just to be clear, I don't think any media outlet has any room at this point to say we have never spread misinformation.
It's an absurd thing to claim.
Yeah.
I'm infallible, is what you're saying by that.
Yeah. And not just that, our opponents are nothing but fallible.
Mm.
You know.
So they also go on to say, as a violent mob was breaching the doors of the Capitol, Newsmax's coverage called the scene sort of a romantic idea. I was like, okay.
And what did you call the Chaz?
What did CNN refer to the Chaz as?
A summer of love.
I mean, they had that politician on from Seattle who called it a summer of love.
Yeah.
And then went on, it went on. Lots of people's stores got destroyed.
Yeah.
And I think it was
six people died.
At least six people died. It's crazy.
Yeah. And when we say died, it wasn't like six people had heart conditions.
They didn't fall out of the building.
Yeah. But at the Capitol Hill riots, there were like three of the deaths were from natural causes. They weren't because of the rioting.
Medical emergencies.
Yeah, medical emergencies. No, people were being killed in the Chaz.
Being shot to death
murdered.
By the security forces.
Yes. Yeah.
So they continue, AT&T currently carries Fox News, Newsmax, and OANN. As a company that serves 17 million Americans, AT&T plays a major role in spreading the dangerous misinformation.
There's no end to it. AT&T are not responsible for what the people who broadcast on their services are saying, and they know it. They know this. Like if you were slandered by Fox News or libeled by Fox News, you wouldn't sue AT&T.
No, wouldn't make any sense.
Nope. And no judge would accept it. They would say, no, you've got to sue Fox News.
So this is from two representatives, and then they ask a list of questions here, which allude to the fact that they are definitely pressuring AT&T if you weren't getting that message already. So one of these, do you require, through contracts or otherwise, that channels that you carry abide to content guidelines? If so, please provide a copy of the guidelines.
Why would they? As long as it's legal, why would they have any guidelines?
Like, why do I care?
But I think the first one's the most interesting question. What moral or ethical principles, including those related to journalistic integrity, violence, medical information, and public health, do you apply in deciding which channels to carry or when to advertise, when to take adverse actions against a channel? Man, I would hit them with something really brutal. We'd be like, well, look, we'd love to have standards relating to journalistic integrity, but unfortunately, we are, of course, not the arbiters of truth, and that means we would probably have to deplatform every news channel that we carry, including yours. So shut up. And what moral or ethical principles do we apply in deciding which channels to carry? Well, we're actually interested in a civic society. We are interested in people having a civic life, and that means hearing from people that you might not agree with and treating them as citizens, fellow citizens, equals, if you will.
I mean, shock, horror, imagine that kind of speech.
Yeah, imagine, right? But they would be the moral and ethical principles that AT&T could come back and just be like, no, shut up, you're doing a bad thing.
I mean, this also alludes to, as we've known with Silicon Valley, that they want to turn every company in America into an ethical company.
Yes.
Which essentially just means a vehicle for leftism.
Yeah.
I mean,
a leftist sort of priestly class.
Yeah, I mean, what principles do you apply? Can you give us the content guidelines? You know, the well-known TOS of social media that is non-partisan, we swear. They also ask a very alarming question. How many of your subscribers tuned into Fox News, Newsmax, and OANN before the election and January 6th? Before the election? Like, they want to know how many people are not buying the propaganda here, I guess.
How badly are we getting dunked on by the right?
They also say, what steps did you take prior to or on and following the November 3rd, 2020 elections and January 6th, 2021, to monitor, respond to, and reduce the spread of disinformation?
None. We're not the arbiters of truth.
I'm not a publisher. Like, I'm just here to give you, here's a news channel. Okay, go ahead. Don't break the FCC guidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. So they also say, have you taken any adverse actions against the channel, including Fox News, Newsmax, OANN, for your platform when they disseminate disinformation?
Again, we're not responsible for the quality of the information that's being disseminated. Why are you asking this goddamn question?
Because they're pressuring them here to say that you need to take down these if they do not agree with our political views. Because that's disinformation.
And not only that, they want to write articles going, AT&T and Verizon or whoever have said that they're not going to reduce disinformation that's being spread on their services. Can you believe this? Mm. This is an outrage. And then AOC will tweet out about it. And a bunch of angry Twitter activists will start cancelling things.
And then
that's
the
what they're trying
here.
To do here.
Are you planning to continue carrying Fox News, Newsmax, and OANN, both now and beyond, any contract renewal date? If so, why?
Because they pay us.
It's that simple.
Go away.
We're a company. Yeah. Sod off. Disgusting people. I just checked out the two names of the representatives who signed this, and they will have got this approved by the Democratic Party. You know, you don't just act without approval to do such a thing. And, you know, just looking up both their Twitter accounts, because leftists are so stupid, they post everything on Twitter.
Yep.
And the first one is just the first representative endorsing Black Lives Matter. So, this kind of person. Next one is the next representative, and he's complaining about black equal pay, which
it takes black women an average of 8 months to earn what white males take home in just 1 year. It's time for black women's equal pay now. Look, Jerry, right? Maybe you as a white man should stop shaming black women for not working as hard as you, a white man. Maybe you should just stop.
Because this isn't about equal pay. It's about equal earnings.
Yeah.
And that as a collective group, you know, collective racial group doesn't earn as much as this collective racial group.
Have you considered that possibly black women have different interests than you?
Anyway, something for sure on head. The FCC, well, one of the FCC commissioners, there's five of them, two Republicans, two Democrats, one vacant, has issued a statement in response to this. And rightfully, because this is the grounds of the FCC. They're the ones who regulate gets put on cable TV, not government
CNN,
officials.
CNN, you know, or government officials.
Government officials. You should not have any role in this, because then it just leads to censorship.
Yeah.
So they said that they sent this letter asking AT&T. They sent it to also 12 providers, so 11 others, presumably. And he's quoted in here, and I love his response. It's great. Democrats are sending a message that is clear as it is troubling. These regulated entities will pay a price if the targeted newsrooms do not conform to the Democrats' preferred political narratives. That's it.
Based.
That's what they're doing.
This is a chilling transgression of the free speech rights that every media outlet in this country enjoys. Sorry, when the regulatory body, the body that is specifically designed for censorship, is saying, look, you're going too far and infringing on people's free speech rights. Is there at some point a time where the Democrats, CNN, and all of the leftist activists are going to sit down and go, okay, is the problem us?
Yeah, I mean, when the censorship lobby is saying you're going too far, I mean, I don't know. I mean, should you look in the mirror at that point and start thinking, well, what am I doing?
I mean, I would have done, but I guess it's only a matter of time until we find out that the FCC is staffed entirely by white people and they hate black people. And therefore, they need to be cancelled too.
Well, there's two Democrats on there, so...
Well, there we go.
Anyway, he continues, more speech is better than less, yet the concerted effort by the Democrats to drive political dissidents off the public square represented a marked departure from the First Amendment norms. Totally true.
Based, yeah.
They're just trying to get rid of political dissidents. They are explicitly saying it by saying it's only right-wing disinformation that they care about.
Yeah.
You notice no complaints about the Russiagate conspiracy theory.
Well, yeah, MSNBC should be off the air by these standards.
If that's the standard, yeah.
Yeah.
A newsroom's decision about what stories to cover and how to frame them should be beyond the reach of any government official.
Good. Totally yes. True. That's the most important part. That's really impressive, actually. They've actually included this. Because that's exactly it. It's, again... I mean, I don't want to just call them fascists, but it's really looking like fascism when the government is trying to pressure and force private companies in conjunction with state, was essentially state-controlled media, to deplatform various opposition groups.
Yeah, I mean, the equivalent would be McDonald's working with the Republicans to get Burger King declared a terrorist organization or something.
Yeah.
So that all of them have to go.
Or that they're, what are you doing to prevent people from being poisoned or something?
By Burger King.
By Burger King, yeah, exactly.
Obvious. Partisan attack. He continues, your demand to know the moral principles, in quotes, that guide the public, that guide a private entity's decision about what news to carry cannot be reconciled with the bedrock principles of free speech and journalistic freedom.
Excellent.
I call on the FCC colleagues to join me in publicly denouncing this attempt to stifle political speech and journalistic news judgment.
Brilliant.
32.
Bravo.
Good guy.
Very good.
Everyone should stand with him.
Yep. I can't believe I have to applaud the FCC.
Yeah, I mean, the censorship lobby. Yeah, normally on the side of them here, where they're like, no, free speech, guys.
Yeah, normally they're the people I'm like, you shouldn't censor that, but okay, fine.
It's like the Liberty wing of the GOP is just like, get rid of the FCC, abolish it. We don't need it sometimes. And I've always found myself in agreement, and now I'm looking at them like, might need them. Yeah, they might be the last bastion.
Yeah, the final line of
tyranny.
The final line of defense against the communists.
Oh, man.
God, what a weird position.
But that's what the Democrats are up to. They're literally using state power to try and shut down all dissent from cable news. They've already done it online.
Actually a bunch of fascists. Actually a bunch of fascists.
I don't know what to say. It's disgusting.
Mm.
I mean, that's where America is. Anyway, we've got some video comments, so we'll go through them.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, you can send us a video comment if you're a gold subscriber on Lidseize.com, and we, of course, read them out before the podcast. We read them out. We play them before the podcast. It's that oil guy. Let's go for it.
Are we really supposed to be taking moral guidance from Coca-Cola, the company that invented Fanta to support the Nazi Germany and, made its own effort at erasing blackness when I was a teenager with Tab Clear?
Well, I mean, we care about Time Magazine's Man of the Year, Person of the Year. Despite
Hitler,
having a few, I'm pretty sure some other dictators have featured in that as well. Hitler's just the most notable.
Joe Biden had it yet.
Yeah, he has. Him and Kamala were persons of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Donald Trump has never been entered into this hall of luminaries alongside various dictators like Hitler and Stalin. Joe Biden's there, but Donald Trump isn't.
It's a great point about Fanta as well. For people who don't know, Fanta as a drink was invented to try and get around the conditions of the war. So the German branch of Coca-Cola Incorporated had to make a new drink because they couldn't make Coca-Cola, so they made Fanta.
But, I mean, like one of the concerns and complaints that the left have is that Coca-Cola used to hire like private contractors as death squads in South America and stuff like this.
Not anymore. They're hiring the right kind of death squads.
I guess so. Now it's left-wing death squads. What were you complaining about?
Hey Carl and Callum, back again, this time with a question. So after listening to you and Shad have your chat about the value that should be placed upon you as an individual, whether it's a young man or woman, and being sensible with regards to your choices around your relationships, got me thinking about your concept of dadism, and I have 10 kids, so it's pretty important to me. Now, I think you should definitely write out the manifesto that you've been chatting with Callum about for dadism, so we can make it an international movement And thinking about that as well, why don't we make a get ourselves going an international patriarchy party? Because why the hell not? It'd ruffle a few feathers. See ya.
Well, for people who don't know, there is a Women and Equalities Party in the UK, which is explicitly radical feminist. So
yeah, well, I mean,
maybe there is a space for a radically dadist party.
It seems to be an underserved demographic in the political arena, so maybe I will. For anyone who's just a regular subscriber on the website, you can, of course, leave comments on the podcast page, and we'll read them out before we read out any other comments. Consider them like prepaid super chats, I suppose. Heathcliff says, I've been working full time throughout this whole pandemic. The roads are packed. No one cares. Everyone knows the truth. I look forward to the 60% tax to pay for everyone's free money. Yeah, I'm really not looking forward to the consequences of the lockdowns when they're over.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, there was a great comment I saw, which is the best stimulus package would have been a 0% tax rate on income.
Mm. Yeah, that would have been wonderful. In fact, that would just generally be wonderful. Paul Roche says, what's your take on Nigel Farage's warning about the Chinese firms taking advantage of COVID-related financial struggles to buy up private schools across the country? 17 private schools now owned by China. Plans to introduce fusion learning with the best of English and Chinese education. Perfect for indoctrination, added to the many Confucius institutes and UK universities pumping out Chinese propaganda and silencing criticism of China. The future of British education is under threat. Well, I tell you what, if there's one party you can't point to and say they're going to save us, it's the Conservatives. The Conservatives have been doubtless taking the stacks, and I am pretty black-pilled on it, to be honest. I think that there's very little impetus to try and not even promote, but just preserve British culture and education in this way. And I think that we don't have many very good options. I'm not very optimistic. Obviously, I think that the government should just basically make it illegal. Why should foreign countries be able to buy up institutions and land here? I just don't understand it. Don't understand why we should just be like, hey, anyone can, like, why can Russian oil billionaires buy up vast tracts of London? Why do we allow that?
So there's a YouTube channel that does like old texts, you know, like diaries, yeah, and then rereads it from like 1700s or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a great trip of these two Japanese guys who come all the way to Europe. And they end up in the Netherlands. Hmm. And in the Netherlands, they're told about buying land, and they want to buy some land on behalf of rich man in Japan. And the Dutch guy's showing them around to all this land, and he's like, well, you just sell land to foreigners? We can just buy this. He's like, yeah. Well, is there a limit? No, you can buy as much as you like. He says, right, so if we wanted to build a fort on that land, would that be a problem? He's like, well, no one's ever tried, but I suppose not. There's nothing illegal about it. It was just like, you idiots. Like, how do you not understand that?
Yeah.
We could just buy you out if we wanted to.
Yeah,
I mean, and the Japanese couldn't at this point, but
sure. But like, they were shocked that this was allowed.
They were just looking at each other like, "This guy's crazy."
Yeah, but understandably so. And I'm trying to understand like what sort of, you know, moral principle are we acting under when we say, right, okay, you know, like foreign people who live in foreign countries must be able to buy land in a different country. Like, if I went to Brazil and I'm like, "Hey, I'd like to buy some land," and they're like, "Sorry, you're not a Brazilian citizen," I'd be like, oh, "That's fair enough." You know,
in the same way you don't have a right to enter the country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they'd be like, why would you, you know, what? Like, you could just do what is being done in London and buy up all of this land and just leave it like all of these buildings and leave them empty and do nothing with them and just hike up the price of land for everyone else around you. Like, what would stop you? You could wage an economic war on a country without ever doing anything that was direct.
It's not good for anyone either. Like, if these people want to invest their money somewhere, surely you'd want to make a system that incentivized them to invest it in innovation and companies, and not vacant land that just makes everything else more expensive.
Yeah, I just don't understand why that's taken as a red. That's a natural thing to happen. Yeah.
I don't think it's a right.
No, I don't think it's right. Sam Coleman says, given the unprecedented levels of control over society, can the Eaters of Lotus give us any historical examples of the state voluntarily relinquishing such powers over the citizenry? I can't help but think this will turn into the Patriot Act 2.0. I personally can't think of any. Can you?
Sorry, I'm trying to find the question.
Well, has the state ever relinquished the levels of control it has voluntarily?
In Britain, yeah. We have history of this.
I suppose after war, yeah. After the Second World War.
Yeah. Giving back freedoms.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
There's very little incentive for them to do it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like in any other country, I can't think of anything. It's always come from riots, wars, revolutions, things like this. Thug Life Bear says, the last time America had mandatory vaccines, it set a precedent for eugenicists. It also served as a direct example Hitler copied from when he created his genocide program. We don't want mandatory vaccination injections, mandatory marks on our passports, mandatory anything. The amount of power it gives to the future fascists of the world is too much.
True.
And the thing is, we know exactly the kind of form those fascists are going to take. It's going to be a very apologetic Catholic woman who sits there and goes, could you try and be less white, please? And we're also going to force you. Like, Callum says, hi, Carl and Callum. I was wondering if you had any advice on reading, further reading on human rights. I'm interested at what point they were first theorized and where they are thought of as imbued by being human or from a deity. I've heard Carl numerous times say in previous streams and videos saying that human rights are inalienable to oneself. I would like this definition expanded upon, as surely the argument can be taken to the extreme, given that free speech requires the other party and the person speaking to hear that speech. Thus, how can we say what is and isn't a human right? Right, well, Callum, the discussion on rights and human rights as we understand them is formulated in about the 17th century by a various sort of slew of intellectuals, French and English intellectuals. The idea of rights generally goes back a lot further, but usually these rights were constructed as institutional rights. So prior to that, the English would say it is my right as an Englishman, or the Romans would say it's my right as a Roman citizen, and things like this. It's actually something we should probably do a premium podcast on at some point, so I can get some research together and give you some good examples and give you a nice timeline. So that's actually a really good question. But the concept of rights is not new; very old. Almost all of these concepts are very old. I mean, one of the things that was interesting in the Marcus Aurelius book club, in fact, the books are back there, was that Marcus Aurelius was concerned about free speech. He was very concerned about and free speech and the rights of the Roman citizens. And he thought that there should be one rule for all, rather than a staggered set of rules for different classes. Very progressive, very liberal, actually, view from a Roman emperor, you know? So these things are not new ideas. The problem, I think, is the view that the conflict between the view that rights are inherent, which is what I believe as a liberal, or the view that rights are constructed by the state, which is what the socialists believe, and we've found ourselves in the position where essentially no one's making the liberal argument anymore. So the socialists have won that discussion, it seems.
I do have to wonder, though. So I would say that the modern view of rights, at least, comes from the Americans, the global view, which then comes from the British, obviously, specifically the English.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, like, when I look at that, I see, like, Areopagitica, him arguing that it comes from God, and then On Liberty, where he's sort of saying, well, you kind of just, you have them. And,
well, it's more that it comes from Locke.
Yeah, but and John Locke. But I have to wonder, like, can you claim that Marcus Aurelius's interpretation has a significant impact on that thinking or not? Because it sort of smells a little bit to me like the Muslims saying we claim.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Socrates. I'm not saying that Locke was deriving his view from Marcus Aurelius, but what I'm saying is, like, the Roman
pockets of existence.
No, it's not even the pockets. Like, the concept of rights has always been a thing in human sort of moral philosophy, as far back as we can go. Like, but the idea of where the rights are derived from changes over time and changes from culture to culture, and so it's not just as simple as to say, well, rights were invented in 1680 or whatever it was
as a moral technology.
Yeah, it's not that simple. It's the formulation of rights and how you come to that right that is what changes underneath the surface, and it changes the direction in which you go as well. I'm not suggesting there's a continuity between Marcus Aurelius and John Locke or anything. Jack says, hi guys, got up early to post this. I've been working nights due to working for a company which has closed its high street stores but still has a grocery division. I just want to say what you guys are doing is awesome and it's helping me keep me sane on my night shift, as everyone I work with seems to think the world is fine, e.g. the Trump impeachment was a good thing in their eyes. I signed up for Bronze and I wanted to help the endeavor keep up the good work. Well, thank you very much. And if you would like to support us and get access to all of our wonderful premium content, you can sign up as well. Henry Ashman, on the solitary confinement is usually reserved for the worst prisoners point. The UN considers solitary confinement exceeding 15 days to be torture rather than three several month long blocks over a year. This is the thing, isn't it? This is the thing with all of the things that are being done to us right now, historically have been considered to be either, like it says, a form of torture, or what you do to people who you think are going to destroy your country, like ostracism. Right, deplatforming is a form of ostracism. It's the modern form of ostracism, and usually, in the only place that has really been like formalized was in ancient Athens, where you would literally vote to exile someone from the state for 10 years. But the thing is, we've got it even worse. Like, when's anyone getting their Twitter accounts back? Never. Literally, they came out and said, you'll never get this back. Right, okay, you're ostracized from the public dialogue forever. That's worse than Athens. You know, it's worse than what was going on before. So these things are all terrible, man. I've had to point out to my friends who are doing reasonably well right now. They live with others and have no children right now. I keep suggesting that one of them moves into the shed for a fortnight to give it a try, but no one seems keen to take me up on the idea. Yeah, I bet they're not. David says, getting these commentaries about the COVID debacle in the UK makes me glad to live in a totalitarian dictatorship like Russia. With the exception of social distancing measures, such as masks and metros, life has pretty much returned to normal already. Yeah, that's another thing as well. Like, one of the, when you get into arguments with, like, you know, leftists online, like British leftists online, they will essentially say that we have to do all these things. It's like, yeah, but there are loads of countries that aren't doing these things, and they're not doing badly, not significantly worse than us either. So why can't we just follow their lead? We should have just done what Sweden did. Lucas Kennedy said, about 2 years ago, the government introduced legislation whereby being on an organ donor list was the default and you had to opt out of it. Yes, that's true. Meanwhile, the government gets first say on what happens with your body, not the citizen. I said, when this happens, that government infringement on bodily autonomy would continue, and I was labelled paranoid. Am I paranoid now? No, you're not. This is exactly what's happening. And the reason that we end up talking about the origin of rights is because this is important. The question is, who owns you? And if you believe in the sort of Lockean sense that you are created by God and therefore you're imbued with this sort of self-autonomy, that the government doesn't own you. But if you believe in the socialist conception, which inevitably leads into the fascist conception,
that state owns you.
The state owns you because the state has taken up the position of God because the state is the author of your rights.
In which case, how do rights even make sense?
Exactly. It's not rights. It's privileges.
Which is why every socialist, nationalist and internationalist socialist government comes to the conclusion that you have no rights.
Yes.
And if we need to kill you, we will.
Yeah. If you think wrong, we'll kill you. And that's another thing as well. That's another really important differential between the socialist and fascist and liberal view. Is the liberal view, if these things are inherent, then it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if a bad person thinks something bad. You don't get the right to just kill them because their rights are inherent and inalienable. Marcus says, if you think it's bad what they're doing at Coke Corp, you should see what they're doing to the US military. We're basically heading towards a complete breakdown of good order and discipline. Why should a black soldier have to listen to a white person who outranks them when the position was gotten by illegitimate means and taken from a BIPOC? Well, that is a very, very good point. Haven't we covered some of that on Lotuses? I'm pretty sure we may have covered something like this. But if not, I must have seen it around. But you're absolutely right. This is really the problem with left-wing philosophy, is that literally it can turn anyone of any stature into a moral legislator. This is where you get students lecturing professors. Do you remember, like, Nicholas Christakis, when he was accosted in Yale University in the center square by these privileged Yale students, and they're yelling at him moral injunctions? It's like, kid, shut up before I ground you.
This was the Halloween costumes thing.
It was the Halloween costumes.
Why did you take the position?
Yeah, exactly. And it's A, she
get out of the university.
She had signed off. Exactly. Yeah, you're suspended. Mm-hmm. Like, you are the children. You are not the legislators. You do not know what you're talking about. But left-wing ideology allows these people to adopt a position of authority morally and then start lecturing their superiors. And that's just unacceptable, in my opinion. Anyway, Cameron says, it seems the only way to break the back of the leftist monster is to solve the problems with conservative solutions. And that is definitely something conservatives should spend more time doing. Ian Miles Chung wrote us an article for Lotuses.com about this, in fact. First time comment, just subscribed. Really appreciate the show. Keep it up. And thanks to your whole team. Well, thank you very much. And Lee says, can you believe how they refer to the Capitol Hill as 6-1 and the time after it as post-insurrection? It's so blatant they're trying to make this a new 9/11. Yeah, exactly. And it's obviously not, just for anyone who's questioning. Adam for $50 dues. Thank you, Adam. Says, I just finished Frank Decotta's Cultural Revolution. The parallels between Mao Zedong's thought and modern liberals is apparent, as we are now seeing papers about the bad class backgrounds. I can't wait until people start literally eating the rich. Well, I mean, on the plus side, and this is the one upside, is that the leftists seem to have absolutely no interest in farming. Like, they seem to have no knowledge of it and no care about it, and they don't seem to understand it at all. The classic example of this was when Kyle Kalinske flew to Texas, and he took a photo out of the airplane window and was like, I don't know why the land looks like this. And he's looking at a patchwork of fields. Yeah. It's like, get out of the cities. Just get out of the goddamn cities. The biggest fool of all time for $75 Australian it is. Says, been watching for years. Love your work and insight. Have a good day. Thank you so much. Rat King for 200 Danish crowns, I think it is. Again, thank you. Cheers from Denmark. Been following for a while. Just found an Instagrammer who makes weird memes and spouts insane psychobabble. ACAB, patriarchy, revolution. You name it, she says it. Check her out. Vagina Pineapple. I'm not sure I'm
going to disavow just in case.
Yeah, I'm going to disavow. Stephen Knezek says, first they came for a poo and I did not speak out, for I was not a cartoon Indian man. Then they came for Dr. Hibbert and I did not speak out because I was not a cartoon African American. Then they came for Dr. Nick. Yeah, so apparently the guy who voiced Dr. Hibbert on The Simpsons has been replaced because he wasn't black. Why not?
Let's talk about Anne Boleyn.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Anne Boleyn. We did a video about this on the alternate channel because the leaked images of the new, was it BBC drama or something like that, that's being produced about Anne Boleyn, a woman who was, we have lots of portraits of Anne Boleyn, and if there's one thing that we could, they all suggest is that she was English.
Not a black person in the Middle Ages in the court of England. I mean, shock horror. I mean, how, can you imagine?
It's racist.
But that's okay. But if you have a white man, whoever voices a black man...
Who happens to voice a black man.
Gotta go.
And the same thing happened with Family Guy, didn't it? With, what's his name? I can't remember the character name. Drax says, gents, been great to see Lotus form and find its feet. Request one, Lotus's values, principles, overview with Lotuspedia links. Liberalism, egalitarianism, free speech, agency, critical thinking. Oh, we'll look into it. Drac also says, second article on political ideologies. Two, article on political ideologies relative to what is left and right and how the meanings evolve. Three, article, feel-good pop politics are a terrible basis for actual policy, human conditions, scarcity of resources, social construct. And Adam says, racist is the new reactionary. Reactionary is actually a hell of a step up if you think about it. Maybe we can look into those things. I don't see them as being objectionable requests at all. Nathaniel Larson for $1,776, exactly the right amount. My wife is a teacher, and she said she's been teaching in class since school started. A few people got COVID, but not a big deal. Kids get the flu. Teachers not teaching in class are 0 out of 10 burgers. I think it's 0 out of 12 burgers, actually. But good start. Student of history for $1,776, the right amount. Woke a cola after causing diabetes, obesity, and severe black knee issues as major health issues among black folks, now want to scream BLM. Also, why should I give up the burger for the keto gods? To be more trim, obviously. And to get rid of all that evil sugar in your bloodstream. And not only that, I think sugar maybe is probably connected to white supremacy. You don't want to be connected to that. There's going to be some connection between sugar plantations, Coca-Cola, and white supremacy. We should dig that up. It's probably very easy to map out, in fact. How many slaves were harvesting the sugar for Coca-Cola for their very first bottle of Coke to be produced? I bet we can find that quite easily, in fact. No wonder Coca-Cola are like, oh yeah, well, Black Lives Matter, guys. The correct amount. Yes, Daniel J. Carica, that was the correct amount. Biden equals sniffer, Harris equals swallower.
Apparently they're still getting sugar from modern-day slave plantations. Yeah.
That's a yikes from us, Coca-Cola. student of history, $10. Vaccine rollout in timeline in my state is 65 to 55, starting March the 1st, and by May the 1st is 34 and under. So why the hell is Fauci and others saying 2022 maybe? Yeah, it's really weird, isn't it? Really weird how Fauci's like, you're wearing masks for the next year. It's like, but why if we're being vaccinated? And why do children need to be vaccinated even though they aren't really spreaders or affected by the disease? Just why? Like, are you being paid by the companies that make the vaccines to be like, yeah, well, we just want bulk numbers, you know, money? Wayne Burdett says, I have a solution for lockdown. Open up all the underground nuclear bomb shelters and old World War II shelters. Allow those advocating lockdown to live there. They get to lockdown and allow the rest to save their lives. JJHW says the Nazi doctors at the Nuremberg trial established that experimental medicines and vaccine require informed consent. Coercion is a crime against humanity and can be dealt with like any other war criminal. Yeah, what's interesting is I was reading the local Bristol paper the other day because apparently they were trying to get kids to take and literally as test subjects for the vaccine. It's like, well, A, you don't know what's going to happen, but B, how can a child give informed consent for testing a vaccine?
Or testing drugs about transgenderism.
Well, there is that too, which incidentally was ruled illegal.
Yeah.
Thankfully, for some good thing has happened. Wayne Burdett, if they're telling us to be less white, then race must be a choice. Therefore, if black people are oppressed, we should tell them to identify as white so then they won't be oppressed. Problem solved. Wayne, I think you've just solved everything, in fact. If that is the case, then, I mean, that's a really good point. Is it a choice to be white? And if so, is it not a choice to be something else for someone else? Drax says, a quick addition, and most importantly, a fit pick for Carl Wikipedia Initiative. No promises. I still want to know why the government thinks they can, at least it's not feet picks.
Baby, where would you put that on your Wikipedia page?
I don't even want to know. I still want to know why the government thinks that they can tell me where and when I can't, or when I can go out. Yeah, I agree. I hate this. What's worse is the wife is happy because she gets to see her friends, literally thankful for being allowed out. Yeah, exactly, right? People are acting like the government is doing them a favor by not confining them to their homes. It's like, okay. Seen too many broke white people believe in white supremacy. I refuse to give poor racists the satisfaction. Yep. Dairy Queen Corporation is a few years behind Woca-Cola. Just last year, our CEO began pushing diversity and inclusion training basics. Yeah, it's going to come to them all because I don't think...
The United States Army is pushing this out now, the United States Navy and the United States Air Force, like literally a few months ago. I've archived it. I didn't know whether or not to include it. Maybe we'll make another episode.
Yeah, we'll do another segment because it's worth just showing people, look, everywhere. Like, it is everywhere.
Like, our military's been screwed for a long time, but the United States under Joe Biden have just brought this in.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Trump would have stopped all this. Trump did stop all this, in fact. Biden is going to employ it. Over here, the Conservatives, hasn't our military been trained to be woke?
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. So the Conservatives have done this over here. So, just everything's going to get woke. Apart from the Russian and Chinese militaries, which won't.
I love this comment here. Magnificent B word. Simple solution for Coke. Hire Pastor Louis as a diversity inclusion officer. 12 out of 12 burger idea. Yeah, it certainly is.
That is a 12 out of 12 burgers. COVID Paparian Bitter. It's where your COVID papers, please. Question for BreadTube. If only white people can be oppressive, is it immoral for a person of color to own white slaves? Now, I think they'd probably end up working themselves around to that being a moral good. Historical reparations. This it opens quite a dark doorway, doesn't it? I pity the poor polar bears who worked at the Coca-Cola commercials. Too white to be ever hired again, I guess. Yep. Rat King. Cheers from Denmark. I read that one already. Sorry, let's go up a bit. To everyone saying, trust the government, scientists and doctors, do a search for Simeon Shaw Manhattan Project and STFU.
I'm going to Google that.
Well, there are loads of others. Like the, what was the one they were injecting black men with, I can't remember the disease. They were injecting black men with disease and syphilis or something.
Oh.
And like a really horrible.
I just assumed they were giving them AIDS because that's...
No, this is before AIDS. It was before AIDS. It was back in like the 40s or 50s where they were injecting just black men with syphilis. And it's just like...
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Human radiation experiments is what that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been loads of stuff. Scientists have done some unethical things in their time, lads, just in case you didn't know.
A four-year-old named Simeon Shaw.
What happened?
I don't know. I just saw that part and I'm just like, okay. God. I'll read it and then I'll...
Yeah, okay. Good morning from Texas, lads. Good morning. This will only end when the Federation comes into power. Denise Richards in a skirt, I would like to know more. Well, yeah, me too. Now you frame it that way. I love how you started noticing, pointing out these manipulative little smiles. Feel like I've influenced you a little. Yeah, I think it's important to note. I mean, whenever I see Bill Gates in an interview, I can't help but feel the man's lying to me about something because of the way he presents himself. Wash Warrior says, the government also said we can play golf providing we don't touch each other's balls. It's very progressive. Coffee Time General. There's someone on my bus ride home watching hentai. I can hear it. I'd take a vaccine to get out of this hell. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. You got me. That maybe there is an acceptable condition. Student of history, vaccine rollout timeline in my. I read that one. Woot says your stream wasn't stable at the start, and I got kicked off the stream. Also, I didn't get a notification today. Oh, goddamn. Wayne says I have solutions for lockdown. Open. Oh no, I read that one. Jake Bartlett. Good news out of Canada. The government just voted to recognize the acts on the Chinese, China's acts on the Uyghurs as genocide. Bad news is Justin Trudeau and his cronies abstained to vote. Yeah, we covered this on lotuslease.com, in fact, yesterday, I think it was, and updated it today with that information that came out. Justin Trudeau is a conscientious objector, it seems, for diplomatic reasons. I don't want to condemn the Chinese government as committing a genocide. I might not get my two stacks.
I mean, why are the army training in Canada? And why is Justin Trudeau really mad when they were told to stop?
I don't know. Canada, why have you elected this guy? Why do you keep electing this guy? And why are you using Dominion voting systems? I'm joking. I don't know if they use Dominion. And there's surely nothing wrong with Dominion voting systems either, because, of course, we don't want to get sued for billions of dollars.
1.3.
Yeah. I'm Wolf. It's a Gundam. Gave you guys a shout out in his last video. Take my burger money. Oh, thank you. And thank you, Gundam. I really like his channel. Stephen Knizik, read that one. Legion Bunny says, wish me luck, lads. Got a job interview here in today in Murica. Well, good luck. I hope you get it. Tim Cornish says, whiteness narrative is being couched as a state of mind, not only to avoid accusations and afford legal protection of future legal actions, I suppose. Yeah, but then, I mean, if that's the case, can other narratives about race not be couched as states of mind? And in fact, that fits completely with the way that the white fragility crew believe in these racial ideologies. So essentially, we could have just dropped the racial terminology, but never mind. Mr. Old School says, this podcast lacks diversity by decree 432 from President Zden. This needs to be rectified immediately. He's wrong. I'm the diversity hire for this podcast.
I mean, the diversity hire. I think it might be the English diversity hire.
I'm blacker than Sean King.
Okay? Oh, yeah, on that basis as well, I suppose. Yeah.
Lewis Griffiths, I still want to know why the government thinks they can tell me where and when I can't go out. I'm probably more Native American than Liz Warren. I read that.
Who isn't, you know?
Yeah. Pepsi is better than Coke anyways. Look, right, we've got to have to talk. That's just not true, and everyone knows it. Fundamentally, even the CEOs of Pepsi know that's not true. And Pepsi is also woke. So we gain nothing. Nothing at all.
So I'm trying to remember. I think it is Pepsi who were the first into the Soviet Union as well. Like, they were the ones that were sold, and then Coca-Cola came next.
Yeah, Pepsi has the strongest navy, of course. Mm. Seen too many... Oh, no, I read that one. Coca-Cola is finally getting into that communist market after Pepsi had a monopoly in the Soviet Union. There we go. Weapons companies have been woke for a while. They literally tried to make a gay bomb at the Wright Lab in Ohio in the 90s. Yeah, I heard that was a bit nonsense, though. Like, I'm not even sure if that was true, but I'd have to check it out. We're over time. Right. Okay, we'll go for one more. Remember, after the COVID lockdowns comes the climate lockdowns. Sorry for the black pill. Check out my parlor at Alternative Factory. Shameless plug. No worries. I haven't been able to get back on parlor properly. It's not been working right for me. I've been using Gab. So you can follow me on Gab.
I need to re-log in Gab as well.
Yeah.
Because it got hacked and I got kicked out. Yeah.
But also, of course, you can follow the Lotus Eaters at... probably something like lotuseaters_com on practically any social media platform that you use. So you should definitely go and do that. And if you want more content from us, you can go to lotuseaters.com, sign up and enjoy all of our premium content. We've got loads and loads there. And we've got loads coming up this week as well, haven't we? We've got loads of, like, you know, articles from contributors. We've got your new podcast and we've got loads of other stuff coming. So we'll see you there, and we'll also see you tomorrow. Take it easy, folks.